for we build our way, our family, tied together in love and harmony. With plenty food and African tradition, this will tell you right where we come from. The way we talk and get along, man, I tell you this bond is very strong. For we Barbuda, let us love one another. For we Barbuda, let us love one another.
Shared Memories, Barbuda Negasi is a podcast that explores the Caribbean island Barbuda through the voices of our elders.
Shared Memories, Barbuda Negasi. Shared Memories, Barbuda Negasi. Shared Memories, Barbuda Negasi. Shared Memories, Barbuda Negasi.
On this island where they jokingly say the donkey population overruns the human population of only 1,800 people, there is a unique way of life. It is captured in this time capsule for future generations. In a world where globalization is erasing culture, history, and traditions, local NGO Barbudan Go, alongside journalist Kiernan Dunlop, produce this series and invite you to share the memories of Barbudan Nega.
I'm Brandon Walker. In this episode of Shared Memories, Barbuda Negasi, we are focusing on the foods that are unique to Barbuda. Street food and selling on the corner is a backbone to Barbudan society and culture, especially on the weekend.
Every Saturday. We're here every Saturday morning. Sometimes Sunday. Fish fry every Saturday morning.
Evans Thomas, age 54, known around the village as Extra Man, has been coming to Canute's Corner in the center of Codrington since he was a young boy. Selling to Extra Man are a younger generation of Barbudans keeping the tradition alive.
It's just the other way to the fisherman, eh? You get on sale. Sell the fisherman to the consumer, and the consumer come up and do fish fry. Got shot there? And most everybody home on Saturday morning.
Barbuda is a fishing community, so fish is always on the menu. The island has one of the biggest lagoons in the Eastern Caribbean, which is a breeding ground for fish and other marine life such as lobster.
Fry, season real nice, and this is a barracuda head. The favorite of grunt, but then left none give me the smile, so I'm a second for barracuda head.
In addition to Extra Man's favorite fish, which is grunt, some of the other fish on sale would be grouper, snapper, silver, barracuda, angel, or doctor fish, which Barbudans call blackfish. And the least favorite is cavalli. Prim Charles, age 65, has been selling for over 25 years, and up to 50 customers a day make their way to her stand on the weekends. She starts as early as 5 a.m., Here, she explains how she prepares her fish.
We after finish scaling it, we put seasoning on it. You know, seasoning, black pepper, and then you have to fry them in hot oil. The oil have to be real hot, or else they're going to stick in the frying pan. Purchase from people as well, as sometimes I get some from my son. My son is a fisherman. I have two sons that are fishermen, so I get from them first. I purchase from other people. Yeah. So they do deep fishing, and then there are other people that set the nets. The lagoon.
Each vendor sells something on the side to go with the fish. Extra Man's samples pancakes and Prim's famous yabba dumplings.
Pancake. It's flour, sugar, or butter? Banana. Flour, sugar, and banana.
And
milk.
Preparing roast dumpling, flour. We have velvet crisp, white flour and butter, and baking powder.
Combined with a little bit of salt.
Fried fish isn't the only food available on the weekends.
Oh, later you come out, you get bullfoot soup, you get peas and peas, fungi and canned fish, you get seasoned rice, sauce, pepper pot, all them they get for Saturday.
Jerk chicken,
jerk pork.
Constantly.
Yeah, Saturday on food day.
In addition to having its own types of food, Barbuda also has its own cookware. One of these is a flat clay pot used in the preparation of several different types of food, usually savory side dishes. Darlene Beezer Parker, age 54, is a Barbudan dedicated to preserving traditions on the island.
The Yaba is Caribbean. It's African. But we, that dumpling we make with it, that's Barbudan.
Prim used hers to prepare her dumplings as well as other foods.
Yaba. We call this Yaba, made from the clay. You can parch the corn, like our grandparents used to do the corn in the oven. You have to keep turning them. And after you can grind the corn in the mill, that is what we call hasham. We call it hasham, which is corn. We call it hasham. And you can use it and cook fungi as well. We don't have much people doing it.
87-year-old Esther Mapp used to use the Yaba pot to bake peanuts to sell.
Peanut. I used to sell peanuts and so parch them and sell. Everybody loved the peanut. Ever up to now, they bake them. You bake them and they have the Yaba. You know the Yaba. You have to do them in the Yaba.
The grinding stone was another tool here described by 80-year-old Princess Parker and Darlene to make corn dumpling. Corn dumpling is one of Barbuda's most famous Sunday morning dishes. It is served with avocado, corn fish, plantain, eggs, chop up, anything you could think about.
Then the corn, when they did their own dumpling, there was a grinding stone where they grind the like a big type of stone and then a little round one when they're trying to grind the corn to make the dumpling. So they did corn dumpling.
Even our corn dumpling, where we take the fresh corn and grind it, that's not Antiguan. You have to know how to make it. Because some people make it, but they put flour in it, white flour. Now the older people never put flour. If they put flour, it's to do their hand so they could roll it properly. But to add flour to that, they never put flour in it. So the real skill is when you can make that. I can't make it. I haven't tried, but I said I want somebody to teach me.
Both the grinding stone and Yaba are also used to make asham, a sweet powder from grinded roasted corn. Here, Darlene is talking to 85-year-old Gertrude Thomas.
And when we did, I grew up and they got asham, you know, asham, I think,
asham. Mm-hmm. Asham.
Grind stone, you know, we just have to grind up on.
Just to grind the asham mm-hmm. with the stone.
Mm-hmm.
You own grindstone?
Grindstone.
You have a grinding stone?
Me have one, me have one.
One.
I don't want me here, so here one in the yard.
Who?
Vernon.
Oh, up there?
Mm-hmm.
So we use people used to make a grinding stone, I just find one stone and use as a grindstone.
That base, they get the one.
Okay, because they're blue bitch.
They use the blue bitch and they get a big stone from the base side.
Okay, one thing I heard about the blue bitch is a type of stone. It's like a hard, hard black stone,
mm-hmm.
but it's black until it's almost looking blue.
Mm-hmm.
So when they used to take the vegetables down to St. Bart's and mm-hmm. the boat was heavy. Mm-hmm. But coming back, it would be too light. So they would load it with that kind of stone from mm-hmm. the other islands
mm-hmm.
to keep it. So that's how a lot of those blue bitches, they call them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like in the wharf around mm-hmm. the seashore area. Because as they come in, they would throw them out. So that's how those stones mm-hmm. came here.
Okay, there's a thing called the corn, the parched corn and asham. They parch the corn and you can make cereal with it or you just eat it just like that. Put sugar in it, but you gotta be careful because it will, like, if you open your mouth, it can choke you. But you can, arrowroot, they used to do arrowroot also to make cereal.
Asham was also used to make another delicacy called fungi, which is made from cornmeal or polenta and served as a delicious buttery ball next to stewed meat kind.
And hasham, that's the dried corn. You grain, roast it, then grind it. We actually make fungi with that. So you have like a parched corn fungi. So that's Barbudan too.
Fungi is a dish only skilled persons are willing to attempt. If you can turn fungi, you're bad. Here, Esther describes how she makes it.
You can cook it with peas. You cut up the okra and you put it in there like boil. Put it like boil. And then when it boil up now, you turn your fungi. Some people just throw in the flour. In the pot and so on and turn it and think. But that will sometimes make it kind of lumpy. But what I do, I wet the flour. You wet the cornmeal. And then turn it, throw it in slightly and turn. And you put whatsoever, you can put butter, cooking oil, you throw in there, like tastes good. And even you can, even pig stuff, if you want it, pickle stuff. When you go turn it, you take it out and it tastes good. It's a pig tail, it's a pig mouth or something. And then when you go cook it, you just take it out. You make it taste nice, tastes good, season.
Barbudans are known for creating unique fungi recipes with ingredients available to them seasonally and in the island's dry climate, such as peas, papalolo, that's a wild bush, grows similar to spinach, and the eggs from the soldier crab, similar to a hermit crab, which is available in the months of July and August. And here, it's described by Princess.
And soldier crab. Well, I guess that is still in season. I don't know if they still do it. But what they do is the seasonal time, and then they cook it. People like it. It's fungi, and that is like a dish. So that I don't eat that. But I know that that's a seasonal thing.
While Princess doesn't care much for soldier fungi, 77-year-old Tyrene Gifts loves it. It is an acquired taste.
And those old people will get them and they pick them and they make a meal out of it. You ever heard of the soja fungi? And it's the most delicious thing I ever eat, that soja fungi. And I just wonder how they knew about these things. And that's a good, because it come out yellow, like a gold color. You understand? And it's very delicious, but it's very high in cholesterol because it's a shell food. You understand? And that's what happened. I know all about that.
Here, Darlene and Miss Gertrude Thomas speaks about papalolo fungi, which is a fungi that is not widely eaten anymore in Barbuda. The younger generation has no clue what it is.
You cook papalolo fungi up to now?
Preservation methods of food were important in Barbuda because prior to the 1950s, there were no electricity. Matate has an ingredient that calls for an extra preparation, salted meat. It was kept for a few days, hung outside, so that the meat began to deteriorate. And when we say deteriorate, you're talking about maggots being formed in that meat. Princess describes the recipe.
Okay, matate is, if you have pigeon peas, or whichever peas you have, that's fresh peas, not canned, because they did not eat out of cans and stuff like that. They had their own natural thing, because they had the farm, and so they had everything. So the matete is the peas, they boil the peas, or whatever you're having. Maybe they use fat meat for the flavor, seasoning, and then they mix flour. Mix the flour and put it inside the pot while it's boiling or however. And then it come into a certain consistency. This is same matter to like they have the rule because you want certain amount to do your thickening and whatnot. So that is some like what how they will do the rule is to make the thickening. So you don't make it too thick or too thin. And that's a meal.
Remember Extraman? Paula Henry describes how he cooked it the other day.
Well, just the other day, the Evans cooked some. Evans get a hog head, real hog head, and he chop it open, salt it with the sea salt, put it to sun, and then he shake out. When he chop it open, he shake out all the bone and so, and then he cook it with that. And peas. It's made flour based. So like white flour pap, you got like white flour porridge and stuff porridge, and then you put in your pickle, you put in your jappers as well, and then you mix the flour water and just bring it in like a soup.
Barbudans will leave the meat out for 2 to 3 days, producing interesting results.
Get up at night, yeah. Hey, you know, dog and so will come in the yard, a cat will carry away. They pick it up at night. Full of maggots. They shake them out or wash them out sometimes. You know, fly will lay egg and they will shake it out, wash it out. So when you're ready to cook it now, you soak it overnight. Mm-hmm. You take a lime in there and wash them out. Then you go. Because it start to like have a rot. They say taste better. Taste better. They say taste better. That is Barbuda.
Fish, as we described earlier, is very popular. And Barbudans will salt their fish to make it last longer. Barbudans call this corn fish. This is a delicacy and it is served mostly on Sunday mornings with your corn dumpling, with your egg, your plantain, your avocado, bread, and you can think of all the delights in Barbuda.
And the way we prepare our fish, where we cut it up, salt it, put it out to dry, not many people, Antigua doesn't do that, that's Barbuda. You know, that kind of stuff.
Barbudans use what the land provides, so game or animals hunted in the bush are in the pot. Here Darlene speaks about what's available.
I think the wild boar is becoming like a very rare. Well, I haven't had it. Land turtle. I think that's another one. But then a lot of people are catching on now. So they say Antiguans love it more than we do now. Duck. Or guinea fowl, Christmas time, that's what, nobody had turkey. You got your guinea hen, you got your yard fowl. A lot of Caribbean people use yard fowl, but like the guinea hen, you go get that. I remember having, that's your Christmas dinner, with pigeon peas rice. And pigeon peas is a big, I guess too, throughout the island, is a big thing.
It also might surprise you that deer meat is a very popular meat on the island. Deer are only found on Barbuda, not Antigua, suspected to be brought in the early days of colonialism by the British. Esther speaks about how it is prepared.
Oh, deer meat. You just you cut it up and you season it up with your garlic and onion and different things and so. And you brown it. If you want to put it in the oven, you put it in the oven. You put it in a dough, but you throw like a grease in it. And you put it in there and you lie brown. You know, you keep turning it and lie brown. And it browns so nice and so on, you know. And then you do it, but in there for brown. If you don't want to do that, you put it in the oven, you know. And me have a pressure cooker, so when me don't brown it or whatnot, you can even when you have the big doving pot to that day. You just do them and put in your onion and your thing and so, and season it and do a gravy. Put in everything, you know, get a nice gravy. Tastes good.
Including the fish Extraman spoke about for breakfast, Barbudans also eat a variety of other marine life, such as shark.
They have soldier crab, certain time that's seasonal. There is, they cook conchs, they cook fish, And is the only thing, my thing was when they gave me my food, they didn't have enough gravy. I would go behind the door and cry because I didn't get enough gravy on my food. There's shark and other things that they like. Because my brother, he likes shark, but he has to be a certain type of shark. Also, the fish, he likes the this fish with this very, very bony fish. 10-pounder, it's called. But not everybody can eat it because the kids can't eat too much because of the bone. Certain people, they do like that fish that I know. And so with the conchs, the fish, the lobster, and they're still doing the traditional cooking.
Fish reminds Tyreen of fond memories with her father.
Well, I could remember my father loved a lot of fish. And when Aaron go on fishing and my father buy the fish from Aaron, he will take one fish and share it between all of us, and then he eat the rest. I could remember that, the blackfish. And I could remember those. His food used to be so delicious. I don't know what happened, why, but I used to like his cooking, my father. Like the fish and fungi, he will have like a group of fish, and he'll put the macaroni in it. And like those kind of food I used to cook. I used to like that food there. And then he used to make those same Creole cucumber that I have over there and red herring. And I could remember they used to taste delicious for me. But he used to do a lot of cooking, my father.
When fishermen got their catch of the day, they would go around the village and let people know they had it. They would say, "Get your fish. Who won fish?" Listen to Paula as she describes the unique method of selling your catch.
Saturday, you hear Bo Rambo, a ring one bell. They call him the bell ringer. Bo Rambo does ring the bell and holler, take notice, fresh beef at Madison, a fresh pork at Madison. So you know what for go. And then, say so like when some people go fishing and they come with plenty of fish. I like to hear gator fish. You know what gator fish mean? They take off the gate, off the yard, and pack the fish in the pan there. I like to hear gator fish. And then I said, pound or no. A heap of fish I get for a certain amount of money.
Barbudans also have their own way of quenching their thirst. Tyreen knows how to make mabi, a traditional drink made from bark of a tree and hibiscus drink, the flower.
I know to do a lot of local drink, you understand? Like hibiscus drink, sun tea, I know how to do all those things. I know to be mabi, not bitter water, real mabi. When I put my mabi foam. They have the bark right here, not the tree there. They have a mabi, real mabi bark trees. When you go, I have that one in my yard in St. Thomas. You see the tree of itself strip. It should be round by the seashore. And I used to take that and make my mabis. I used to use mabi seasoning. I don't see people here carry it. Mabi seasoning having orange peel, ginger, what do you call it? Basil. You have sweet marjoram and you have rosemary. Those are the stuff you boil to make mabi seasoning. And those are the stuff you boil to make your mabi seasoning, okay? When you're making your mabi, you get the level. So you make a quick bottle of it and leave it there for a week. And when you're making your real mabi, you throw that in it. And you beat your mabi 100 times, just up and down with a cup in the bucket or whatever you have it. And it foam like what? And that foam will go right back down. And then after you make it bubble like a bay, come right up until you knock the cover off. That's the time you're ready for drink. Put it in the fridge and everything.
Punch soda is a Caribbean treat Paula speaks about.
Fresh cattle milk, and you see that punch soda? Just mix up with the punch soda. That's your drink. You never like it, Tammy. You love not milky. Never like it, but wait and wonder, and they love it. Evans and them, they used to look. I would just buy cackle milk from Manigon and there. Yeah, Manigon and there always a cackle. Uncle Johnny and there.
81-year-old Bernice Lewis looks at how Barbudans use what's available locally to make their own wine. She talks about the blackberry, which is not the European version, but of a bush found locally with a smooth dark berry on it. They also use sea grapes, cranberry, dums, and more.
But we used those, they used to make their own wine from blackberries. Wine, because some of the people in the don't mission are testifying, they're drunk, then drunk.
Enjoy Lawrence's book on Barbuda. She wrote, Barbudans from the days of slavery have always stick together for their very survival. Bartering and freely giving to their neighbors is second nature. 99-year-old Enid Beezer speaks about how lobsters used to be in abundance and shared with no cost. In her eyes, times have changed.
Nowadays, look how lobster gone now. Mm. You could sometimes lobster and not a give. Feeding father, no, not feeding father. Oh, yeah. You go out to your neighbor and your yard, you know, maybe you know them even then. By tapping, John. Mm-hmm. You could get one lobster for anybody now. Some red mouth bones. You say what? Mr. Lobster, I'm talking about lobster nowadays. Not you. Then they never turn to agree with the man.
Paula also describes the community spirit of sharing.
First, mother used to have them grow. Boy, mother just bring home bag of peas, three bag, four bag of peas, some white bean, dry peas, green peas. And then I tell them, you know, you just care some give this, care some give that, care some give that. And they would have a pumpkin and I say, care this the alga. So it's like a batter. Because that was not the main income for mother and them, for my parents and them. Daddy used to be a fisherman. When daddy come a wharf, me never see daddy do sell fish. When daddy does come a wharf, mama Bessie and the old people and they does long there, he put we both come alongside wharf and just start to show, this is for Bessie, this is for mass call, this is for this, this is for that. And he never take a dollar from them.
Paula Henry's family's reputation has earned them a nickname.
I'm tell you, my big pot full of soup, I'm just scare everybody. Netta get, Wanda get, Evans get, Angeline, Tanti, Lil Rose, Anna, Fern, Prim, two policemen their station, Sanja get, for my family get, everybody get soup. You know, a big pot for me do pot in my cook full of soup. You know how that is, Calvi? The big pot family. Netta say she does bar and Moses. Moses write my essay pan said the big pot family. It is a she does ball. The big pot family. Up to now, they call me the big pot.
Not only did Barbudans share food, they also shared labor in the building of their homes. However, food plays a part, featuring the Duke Williams pot. That's the biggest pot in Barbuda.
That's a pot. It's it's a pot that everybody cooked from or with. And whenever there's when you're doing a foundation, when everybody gets together, floating a foundation, casting a ring beam, when house building time comes, Barbudans work as a team. When work hard and plenty work day, Duke Williams feed everybody, you know. So it's like this big pot. You're doing your foundation, Duke Williams is there. You're doing something, but you send to borrow Duke Williams from whoever. It's a pot. You call it Duke William, yeah. I don't know. Duke William is an African American, I think, musician or something. But I don't know what why he got that name. Oh yeah, but you go get Duke Williams wherever he is. Oh, that is the pot. Her carry something that could be.
Due to its isolation, Barbudans have used the fruits, vegetables, and meat kind available to them to develop unique recipes over the centuries that are only found on the island. Sharing was an essential part of survival, as this small community were dependent on one another. Barbudans take pride in the fact that they are the only ones that can create these dishes, as Darlene says.
That if you can't cook it, you know, come from Barbuda. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Shared memories, Barbuda niggas. Shared memories, Barbuda niggas. Shared memories, Barbuda niggas.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Shared Memories, Barbuda Negase. We'd like to thank our speakers, 99-year-old Enid Beezer and her daughter, Valerie Thomas, and daughter-in-law, Anne-Marie Gore, Evans Thomas, Primrose Charles, Darlene Beezer Parker, Esther Mapp, Princess Parker, Gertrude Thomas, Tareen Gift, Paula Henry, and Bernice Lewis. Thank you to Oliver Parker for the lovely theme song. Thank you to Kiernan Dunlop, a Fulbright grantee and journalist known locally as Kay, for producing this series. To the Art Cafe, thank you for allowing us to use your space. And a quick plug for more information on Barbuda, visit www.barbeautiful.net. That's www.barbudafuel.net. You can also check out Summertime Fun by Darlene Beezer Parker, a children's book available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Archway Publishing. The book is about how the lagoon is an integral part of growing up in Barbuda. The Barbudan Go team, Asha, Bren, and Cleo, thank you for being the home of this podcast. The Barbudan Go volunteers, Adonisha, Katie, Jamelia, Kenya, Nataki, Scott, and McElroy, thank you for naming the podcast. To all Barbudans, big up yourself.